Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, praise team. God bless you for the wonderful ministration. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. Do we love the Lord? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for grace to love him. You know, some people actually hate him, but God has given us grace to love him. That's wonderful. Amen. If you love the Lord, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, Father, for this hour. Thank you for grace you have given us to even love you. I know you first loved us. For that reason, you came to this world and died for me and for all. And Father, we thank you for that sacrifice that was made on behalf of mankind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for such love. Blessed be thy name, Lord. We truly appreciate the sacrifice you made for us, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We choose our memory, our verse for today from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. We are not going to put it on the screen now, just leave it for now. But the title of the ministration of this morning will be taken from one of the verses of this hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, Christ, a sinner, perfect plea. Amen. Christ is what? A sinner, perfect plea. I don't know if you've been in the law court at times and you see the lawyers making a closing case, argument as it's called. And at times the outcome of such depends on the plea that is made by the lawyer regarding to the individual they are representing. Today we are saying that Jesus Christ is a sinner perfect plea. And at the end of this message, we will present a case of how he makes a plea for each and every one of us. Amen? And he has already done it. But because the accuser still stands before the throne to accuse us, how that precious blood is shed for us has been in effect. Amen? From the beginning, from the foundation to this day, Jesus Christ's blood is still in effect, making a plea for each and every one of us. So today, a sinner, perfect plea is Jesus Christ. Amen? And we thank God for such grace that we have him. Today, all over the whole world, in churches, in every nation, there's an acclamation going on that Jesus Christ died to set mankind free from the wages of sin, which is death. Amen? And we, as people, I myself, do declare that this sacrifice he made was such that there is no comparison. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? So we hold this truth to be self-evident, that him would our God, the eternal God himself, the high and mighty one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only wise God, came and gave his life for mankind. It is something that if it dawns on us, the magnitude of this great manifestation of love, that we can appreciate it because this is no ordinary person. This is no angel. This is no just prophet. It is the eternal God that came. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And gave his life for his own creation. I don't know, or have I heard, I don't think we will ever see or hear, that a monarch of this world, a king on this mortal realm, will go and sacrifice themselves. Let's say that one of their subjects, a nobody in the kingdom, was taken captive and held for ransom. And the ransom is that the king or the monarch should come and exchange his own very life for the person they have taken captive. Please tell me if you have read it in the history of mankind where such sacrifice was made. But mind you, we are talking of just human beings. This is God that created heaven and earth. All things that were created was made by him. Yet, he came and gave his life for me and for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, some of us may say, well, he did it for the whole world. He did it for you. I fully believe that if it is only one sinner on earth, Jesus will have come to die for that one sinner. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, if a man has so many sheep or cattle or whatever, and one of them go missing, the Proverbs, he said, will he not lead the ones who are secure stay there while he goes searching for the missing one? Telling you that if it is only you that is lost, if it is only me that is lost, Jesus Christ will still have come. What a great love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And not only did he die, he also, without controversy, made a decision that affects each and every one of us and the whole world today. We're coming into that. But look, Christ giving being birth would have meant nothing. Jesus Christ coming would have meant nothing if he didn't rise from the dead. Amen? Paul, the great apostle, says, we will have of all men be most miserable. Miserable. If our journey is that Christ just came, died, and didn't resurrect, our faith will have been in vain. Nothing. Useless. But he came and conquered grave and death for us. Amen? Amen? He came and made an open mockery of the things that will have held us in bondage and fear, which is death, the wages of sin. He came and made an open mockery of them and also put to shame every other thing that called themselves God. You know, over the eons of time, men have worshipped different things. Some worship mountains. Some worship the stars, the moon, the sun. Some worship rivers or animals. Some even go far and take their own hand and make a god of silver or gold, and even that of wood. And when they make this of wood, they take part of it and cook their food. And then they take part of it and carve it, and put an eye that doesn't see, and put an ear that doesn't hear, and put a mouth that cannot speak, and they bow down to it and say, here is my God. What foolishness. Then there are people who have created religions in the world. Religions of different types. We have the Islamic religion, we have the Buddhist, we have the Zoroastrians, we have the Krishnas, we have just about so many of them, all of them. Now, there is a difference between the true God and the living God. Now, if you go to their founders or those that uphold such religions, you will find in different places of this world that their bones are still in the grave. Amen? You will find the dust of such ones still in the grave. Amen? because they are not God. But go to the grave where Jesus Christ was buried. He said what? He has risen. Amen? Somebody shout hallelujah. He said he has risen. Amen? For death could not hold him captive. No way. Even in the grave, Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we are going to come to that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Death could not hold him captive. In fact, he was such a warrior. You know, I hear about some countries where thieves want to come and they write a letter to some people and say, I'm coming this day. And I was talking with my neighbor who has machine gun and everything in his house. I said, do you know there are people? Say, if such person will write, some American will say, praise God, let them come. All this machine gun I bought, I haven't had time to shoot it. But they actually do it in some places because they act with impunity. Jesus Christ acted with impunity. When they came to him and said, hey, give us a sign that you are coming. Say, what? Do this evil generation demand a sign from me? He said, I will give you the sign of Jonah. Amen? He said, 3 days. Put this body, kill this body, put this body under the ground. Amen? And in 3 days, what? I will raise this body again. Destroy this very temple. What did he say? I will raise it again. Amen. And they scratched their head and said, this guy is crazy. Do you know how many years it took? 46 good years. With thousands of workers or hundreds of workers to build this temple. And you are telling us to destroy it, but he was talking of the temple of what? His own very body. And they didn't understand it. And because the secret of the ages, the mystery of the redemption of mankind was hidden, they couldn't understand it. And thanks be to God that it was hidden to the greatest of angels. It was hidden to Lucifer. It was hidden to Satan. Every one of them, only one. Let's quickly go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read together. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Every mother, king, kingdom that put a seal, they usually have 1 seal. Now, there is one book that is sealed 7 times, banned, like in with bands of iron. Go to verse 2. 5:2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open their book and to loose the seals thereof? 3. And no man in heaven, amen, and no man in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, the redemption story, the drama that we play out, the plans of God for the ages, the mystery of our redemption. Neither, no one is able to open that book, neither to look even at it. This is one book you can't find in any library. This is a one book that there is no photocopy of it. There is no addition or subtracting for it. It is sealed so that this great great thing that is going to be done is only will be revealed one time and one time only. And for a purpose, we get to that. Go to verse 4. And John said, and I wept, not just crying one time. He said, I wept what? Much. In other words, he was swimming oceans of tears. Crying oceans of tears. Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look even thereon. Because John knows that if the drama, if whatever is sealed with this 7 seal was not open and done, then we are lost. If the plan of God does not manifest, then our faith is in vain. There won't even be any faith. If the secret of the ages, that a righteous blood have to die to redeem mankind, and how this is going to pan out, because you can think about it, there is no righteous blood, no one else. And no one will even think, remotely think, assume that Biden will come and die for a wretched poor man in the street of Arizona and take his place. And that is even bringing it in a low level. But an eternal God that created a kingdom whose kingdom is without end, his dominion is above all, who none can withstand what he says. If you tell it to angels, they will cry their age. No. God be joking. In fact, when the manifestations start to happen, the drama start to open later on, say the heaven was silent. They looked at it. Eternal God to die for mankind? No way. But here it is. And John wept, knowing that this is a real situation, that mankind is lost, that sin has prevailed, the band of death will remain. And he cried very much. Go to verse 5, please. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, amen. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glorious God. The root of David himself has done what? Had prevailed. Oh, Mary, he has done it. To open the book and to lose the seven seals. And open the book and do what? Open each one of those secrets which he put there and bound, that this will happen. So heaven looked at this and said, my God. God himself coming to mankind to do this. And then when I say God, many of us sitting here may start to ask, is this real? Are we talking of the true God? Yeah, we're talking of God. He has to do this because the law of heaven, there's a constitution that guides America. That constitution was written, I believe, for this nation through God's grace and because it's so, the revelation, the foresight that they used to put, you can see God. Until today, this nation remains strong as long as they abide by that constitution. There have been a lot of, you know, corrections or addition or whatever, amendments and so on and so forth. Heaven made a plan that it will take a righteous blood to redeem mankind. Even before Adam was there, these things was written before the foundation of the earth. But only God knows this secret. It was sealed with seven seals. And when John was crying that this is a lost case, then one of the elders said to him, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And is worthy to open that book and to lose the seal thereof. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now starts the drama that happened. We're going to come to that. Now, who is this Jesus Christ? And I want us to reason for a reason for this. And if you don't understand it, don't necessarily just pray and leave it there. I say this for a reason because the revelation broke on my heart. It's a younger man many years ago in a bathroom. Because I was going to do something and the Lord wanted me to do it differently for a purpose. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is matters. I don't know who is sitting here who will think that just any God died for you. I don't know who is sitting here thinking that maybe a prophet died or may listen to this message on. I want to tell you who actually died for you. It wasn't any angel. It wasn't an archangel. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Isaiah 9 6, please. Quarry. I'm going to get to the bottom of this quickly. For unto us who is born, unto us a son has been given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. And what is the next one he is called? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, who qualifies? Who was this verse referred to? Jesus Christ. That is why I say that the angels cannot figure it out. Satan didn't even come close, or he wouldn't have tried to kill him. Who would believe that the Mighty God himself, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the only wise God, who is said, for without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in his flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the world, and received unto glory, the same Jesus Christ. This God, I want to explain to those of us who are here and those who will listen, is the same God who is the Father, as it is said here, who is the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who is the Prince of Peace, as the Son of Man. The same person in three manifestations over the times. He created the world as the Father. He came to save mankind as the Son of God. And he is living in those who believe in him as the Holy Spirit. Not three gods. You will not see three gods when you get there. When you see reference to Father, my Father did this, my Father did that, I'm going to my Father. Christ one duty, and duty is to save mankind and point mankind on the way to the Father. Therefore, the reference of the fathers. It is the same Jesus, the same Christ, that came in the beginning, that came in the middle, and is here with us again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, it can only come to you by revelation. Don't struggle over it. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to make something out of it. If God will reveal it to your heart, you will understand it. If not, there's a purpose for it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So God, the eternal God, came for mankind. And the drama started to unfold henceforth. As I said, days or weeks before he was to die for me and you, they came to him and said, give us a sign. And he told them it will be the sign of Jonah. And so they took him according to the plan of God. According to the plan of God from the ages, they were to crucify him. I was reading and I saw that a woman there, the wife of Pontius Pilate, a dreamer like me, came to warn the husband and said, do not have anything to do with this righteous man. Don't kill him. Don't have a hand in this thing. But no way. The plan of God must stand. The counsel of the Most High must prevail. Amen? They took him and put him on the cross. Nailed him right there. We're not going to go through all the process. What happened? The suffering he has to bear. The shame he has to undergo. But let's read quickly Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 in line with what is about to happen. Isaiah chapter 3, 53 verse 6. Isaiah 53, 6. And all we like sheep has gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is why he came. A sinner, sin cannot coexist with God. And God is a righteous God. And the constitution of heaven says that for a sinner to be redeemed, a righteous blood has to wash them clean. Go on to verse, go on to this one, please. 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. Go on to next one, please. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So they took Jesus Christ to fulfill these scriptures and nailed him on the cross. And at a point, the eternal God cannot deal with sin, because this was a man on the cross for us here. Took on flesh. And there was a separation. And he cried out, "Will I be forsaken?" That's how bad sin is. That when the sins of the whole world, my sin and yours, was poured on him, there was a separation made. But God had an agenda. And so Christ died. And when he gave up the ghost, certain things happened. Heavens cover themselves shame with shame because of what has happened. How can the mighty God be killed? If you read the book of Matthew, you will see where it said the whole earth was in turmoil. Rocks, mountains, earthquakes, crowds, lightning, things were going off that even the soldiers who were watching said, "Truly, this is a son of God." Shame was upon earth. That great prince, eternal God, have to go through this for mankind he created. But he didn't stop there. It used to be that in the days of the old, we don't have access to God. In the days of the old, you have to go through some medium to even approach God. Jesus Christ, even though he has broken all norms, still have some to do. In the Holy of the Holies, there is a thick tent. The tent was so thick that they, according to history, maybe about 2 inch thick. No man, no woman, no mortal being can tear it. He said that immediately Jesus Christ gave up the ghost, what happened? He said that the tent that separates us from the Holy of Holies was thrown from top to the bottom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now we have access to God. It used to be that the high priest, before he goes in there, we have to prepare himself. They have to take him through the process, teach him how not to die there, because God is ready to deal with you if you mess up in that place. And even after that, they will still tie a chain from what we had, tie a chain to his leg, and put a bell there, so that when once a year he goes to make a preparation for the sins of the whole world, people can hear him walking around. And if by any means he died there, this bell will stop moving, and they won't hear the bell tinkling again, and they will use the rope, the chain they tie to his leg, to pull him there, because nobody can go there and remove him. Inside this Holy of Holies is the mercy seat and other things that is there. It is there that he goes to meet God, cleansing the sins of the world with the blood of bulls and goats and whatnot. But when Jesus Christ died, that sacrifice, that sin was cleansed once and for all for me and for you. Now I'm telling you, amen, that you don't need a prophet, you don't need a pastor, you don't need an apostle, you don't need any angel. There is no demon that can make a separation between you and God. We have direct access. The little me can go to God. The little you can go to God. Anybody sitting here can approach him. We can call him Father, and he's truly our Father. We can call him a friend, and he's truly a friend. When you go a friend, you don't go asking somebody, can I see a friend? You walk to your friend's house and knock on the door. And he opens the door and says, come in and sit down. That is what a friend does. Now, the only thing that can make a separation between you and God is you. It's you. Brethren, we have access to him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us make use of that. Amen? Jesus Christ is your friend. Jesus Christ is your father. Jesus Christ is your help. Jesus Christ is your shield. At no time will he turn his back on you if you go to him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? He wasn't done. Satan still didn't know what is going on. Then another drama happened that when he died and gave up the ghost, Satan thought that was the end. Now I can maybe go to heaven and reclaim whatever he was fighting before he was thrown out. He was delusional. Jesus went on defense. There is offense and defense. He went on offense. He said it is him that died that also did what? Descended. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. Ephesians 4 8 please, quickly. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he did what? He led captivity captive and give gifts unto men. Nine. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Amen? The same person that descended is the same one that will ascend. But he first descended. Go to 10. Let's round up quickly. He that descended is the same also that ascended up above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Amen. Satan now got the idea that all is well, but no, who came knocking? Jesus Christ. If you go to the book of Psalm, we don't have time to read it. I think 127 or so. He said, when he comes, those infernal gatekeepers, who is he that is knocking in this quarter? I say, it is I. And who are you? He say, it is I, the Lord God mighty in battle. Open the gates. Open it up. Because there were people, there were the Abels, there were the Jonas, there were the Elijahs, there was the David, Samuel, all of them that had died but without the shedding of the blood. They were all under the blood of bulls, imitation, just patch up, aftermarket, not the original. They were in a waiting place on hold. They couldn't come out from that holding place. But Jesus Christ now paid the price, waving the constitution, the order that now they are free to go. He went in there and went from dorm to dorm, from room to room, from gate to gate, and freed them all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They came out of that grave. They came out of that pit. But none of them was to come out of the grave first, until Jesus Christ has first come out of the grave. Because it's written that he was the first. He must be the first. He is the first and he is the last. But he went opening the grave. This is the scriptures. He descended unto the lower parts of the earth and caused wahala there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He now down on Satan, my miscalculated. The secret of ages is now opening before me and it is too late. I know there was no righteous blood and I thought that this is done. Mankind is waved away. We are done forever. But no, God had a plan. He came himself. It was sealed. It was closed. It wasn't part of anybody understanding. But Jesus Christ came. Amen. He died and he rose again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God, he does not change. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Just give me a second to pick up this. Glory be to God. So he went below and took those in captive, and made an open mockery of all the powers that be, and said to them, you cannot hold my people captive again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Matthew chapter 27, we may read it or not read it because of time. One more thing that happened once he went inside that grave. He said that the graves were open. Let's just read Matthew 27. I think it's verse 5. Matthew 27. Blessed be, verse 1, please. Don't worry about it. Let's leave it for now. Don't worry. Let's just go. When this grave was opened, something strange happened that has never happened before. Grave opened and human beings start coming out of their grave. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. They start coming out of the grave, and the grave opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. This is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 52 and 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. And these same people who were dead before that Jesus released, say, and went into the holy city, appeared unto many. So here's the sequence. Jesus Christ died, gave us an open door to walk into Christ, to walk into the throne of heaven, into the presence of the Most High God, and no more separation between us and this. And so, after that, he went inside the grave, scattered the whole place, took captivity captive, and now they are appearing for the first time after he arose from the dead. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout, blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, what are we doing about this great sacrifice? Is the main question of the ministration today. What are we doing about it? I was going to ask us a question during the review. If you want to thank Jesus for what he has done, what do you think you can thank him with? What will be the greatest desires of his heart? And in this regard, I want to bring some examples. How many a times myself and we are failing in this regard? That such a sacrifice is meant and meant for one reason only, that God will deliver mankind from sin. Do you think that after having done it, he can do it again? No. It is left for us then to take what Christ have done, build on it, and give the praise to the Lord. Now, there was a man, I want to use this as an example, called Jonah, who was watching the living dead, the city, I call them the living dead because judgment was already ordained against them. That the whole city will be wiped out and dead. But Jonah was called and given a mandate like God has given to me and you. Go into the world and preach this gospel. To what? To all. As many as we believe, as many as we come to him. But it will be us from now on. Once Jesus Christ has done his part, the remaining is for me to do. The remaining is for you to do. For us to make effort. Either by ourselves or support those who are doing it. If you cannot do it, send somebody else. If you cannot do, support somebody else that goes. But ultimately, it is for all of us, children of God. And at times we go through a whole year, a whole month, a whole week, without making effort to take this gospel to those that Jesus Christ paid this sacrifice for. We go a whole year, maybe without having laid claim to one single soul. But on Sunday, Easter, we come to rejoice that Christ has risen. The purpose of Christ dying, coming and dying, is for a soul. As I said in the beginning, if it is only one single soul, Jesus Christ will still have come for that one soul. And you see people around you who are the living dead, destined to die, because nobody will talk to them. And you see people out in the field going to preach this gospel, and you don't know, lend that help. You do not support so that this gospel can reach them. Jonah was in the same mood. Go and preach to Nineveh, he said. And he looked and said, no, I'm not going. Instead of going north, he took a ship going south, running from God, from saving soul. Along the way, God decided to agitate the ship. Storm and things came upon them. They cast a lot and found out it was Jonah, but he was sleeping somewhere. Say, Jonah, what are you doing? Who are you? He said, well, what is it about? He said, our ship is about to capsize. You are sleeping. And the Lord has fallen on you that you are the cause of this. What did you do? I sinned against God. Well, pray to that God so that he can, so that we don't perish with you. Say, no, which God am I going to pray for? I'm already running away from him. Just take me and throw me inside the sea. End the case. So they took him and threw him inside the sea to end the case. Only the case didn't end. God sent a submarine like a fish to swallow him there and carry him on a 3-day journey, which Jesus Christ referred. Say, the only sign this generation will receive will be the sign of Jonah, like dead in the belly of the fish. He said, my soul tasted hell, the stench of that place, the ugliness of it, and he was there for 3 good days. Until they come and they vomited him right on there, on the border of Nineveh, by the seashore. He crawled out of it all the time, stinking, washed up, and said, well, I'm already here. Let me go preach the gospel. He started shouting, not because he wanted them to be saved. I will say, can this happen? This is a prophet of God. And this is the mindset of many people. When you refuse to try to reach soul, you are not different from Jonah. Well, see the greatness of God. This sinful city, these people condemned to die, they suddenly changed their ways. They believe in the Lord, from the king to the peon, from the greatest to the lowest. Repented. And Jonah cried, is he not what I was afraid of? That you are a merciful God. That you are full of compassion. That your goodness, I can't figure it out. Look at it. Say, well, he went and built himself a little shade somewhere. And during the daytime, some whatever ate the weed, and the sun was scorching on his head, I feel like dying. And God said to him, ha. So this little effort you made, and finally find it's not working, and you felt bad. How much more, how do you think I feel over this great city called Nineveh, wherein there is about 120,000 souls? That's to show you the nature of our God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's full of mercy, he's full of compassion. The prodigal son brother also thought so, like many of us. What is going on? His brother was sinful, wretched, have gone against the father, but suddenly came to his senses and came back to the father, and the father opened his arms and welcomed him and said, are you going to welcome him back into this house? Are you going to forgive him all the evil he has brought to shame, he has brought to this family? The father said, yes. Because once your brother was lost, but now he is found. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The thief on the cross was also in the same shoe. Murderer all his life, killer all his life, and abuser all his life, But one day he found himself on the cross by Jesus Christ. He said one right thing: do not persecute him. We are suffering for what we did. He didn't do anything. And he made a plea. Amen? The sinner's perfect plea. A plea that you make in the courts and all the jurists will turn in your favor. He made one plea: remember me when you are in your kingdom. And what was the answer? Today. Anybody remember? Today you will be with me in my. Because he made one single plea. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And somebody take this for this ring. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, I was a day that God opened my eyes to the fact of how this thing happens. And I blessed the name of the Lord. It was years ago. As a chaplain, I was driving, and I got a call from the hospital that there's a man asking for a chaplain, a reverend. They called me reverend. Well, so I went there, and in coming in, I met a noble-looking man. There's people you see, the bearing, the way they comport themselves, you see that they are people of import. And immediately I come in some cases they will call me to come, and when I come, the people they call me to come and speak to will just nearly want to slap you or spit on you or do it, but not this man. Reverend, welcome. Thank you. He was weak, tired, but you can see him, he tried to sit up. I looked at him, he looks very nice. Very well-educated man. I said, what is the matter, sir? Thank you, and so on and so forth, and we start talking. He said, look, I am in a situation here that I know I will be meeting my maker very soon, but I'm not ready. I said, why are you not ready? He said, I don't know, because what has happened in my life. In talking to this man, I found out that his family is a well-popular people in the United States. If I mention their name, it's a big name in the world. He said, in my younger days, I worked for the United States, and I was good at my work. My work is to assassinate and kill people. He didn't go into detail, whether it is FBI or CIA, I don't know. But now that I'm about to go and meet my creator, Reverend, I am not ready. I'm not prepared. And greatest of it is the sin that I have committed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In some cases, you have something to say. In some cases, you don't. But immediately, I thought about it. Lord, how can I minister to this? What can I say? He said, remember the thief on the cross. I said, sir, yeah. I said, I have somebody that fits you in a way. Because I felt he's not telling me everything. He may have taken more than he wanted to do. He may have enjoyed this work. He may have used it for, you know, mercenary purposes. He may have whatever it is. It is weighing down. If he has authorization to do it, maybe it wouldn't be that. But I think at times they go overboard. Or they do things in the field that they are ashamed of. Children, women, or whatever become a collateral damage. I say, you remember the Bible says something about a man who is a killer, a murderer, and he was sitting by Jesus Christ. It was nailed by the side of Jesus Christ on the cross. Say, yeah. Say, what is different between you and him? Nothing really. I think you told me you're a murderer, whichever way you want to call it. You assassinate people, you do this. There's other things that goes with this line of work. Say, yeah. I said, but you remember what happened immediately he spoke to Jesus and said, please, one plea, one perfect plea, one agonizing plea, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And he said, the same day, the same hour, the same minute, the same second, Jesus Christ said, today, not tomorrow, not next tomorrow, you will be with me in paradise. I said, do you believe that if Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same Jesus Christ who was standing on earth and say, I am here with you now, and I'm also in heaven, who is also in heaven now and here with you as we spoke, speaking. He said, do you believe he can do the same thing to you? I have never seen something like that. This man, when I came in, is like you have 400 pound weight on his shoulder. His look, even with his noble bearing, was haggard and tired and fearful and afraid. It looks like this load was lifted right. We haven't even prayed the prayer of salvation. Just that one word you say to a sinner. That one prayer you make to a sinner. That one encouragement. That one single thing that God brought forth to you to say to a sinner can make a life-changing situation for them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you pass them on the road. You pass them at the place of work. You go from week to week, from month to month, without thinking of a soul, without making effort. Why are we celebrating Easter? Is it to go do an Easter egg to eat? We do not hold after the tradition of men. We are not here for the Easter egg, or for the decoration, or crying the cross. And Christ came for one purpose and one purpose only, for the soul. Amen? And once I was there, many a times God will open my eyes to see things briefly. And things I see within a few seconds will be like days of seeing. And I saw a plea going on in heaven. And this man was standing before that throne. And in that throne, he that is above all, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the judge of all mankind, was sitting. And Satan, the accuser, had to say, this man want to come in at the last minute. This man want to step in at the last minute. Do you know what he has done? Do you know the evil he has committed? The wretchedness of this human being, he is an atrocity living here. He has done so much evil. He has killed, he has raped, he has stolen, he has done this and that. And so he wants to say, give him back to us. We should take him to our domain. He doesn't belong to where he is. He wants to go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that was quiet all around. And then for he that sits on the throne say, I died for him. I shed my blood for him. End of case, blessed be the name of the Lord. End of case, blessed be the name of the Lord. The plea was made and there is nothing that can hold him back. Every sin, everything that man has done was wiped clean in that instant. Like that man said, all that was done. There is nothing that any man can hold against him again. God cannot even hold anything against him again because Jesus shed his blood for him. Hallelujah. 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 You cannot buy a judge, a lawyer, anything like that. That blood, the efficacy, the power, it speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Let's stand on our feet, everybody. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you go out, tell it to all domains that he who broke the power of hell, who walked in the dark domain and came out victorious, Jesus Christ is still the same and he is the same forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let all men declare that he is King of all. That because he loved us, even when we are not worthy, he gave his life for me and for you. Let us proudly declare him to all mankind that he's still the same, that he's able to save, he's able to deliver, that with him there is hope. Hell or death or grave has no hold upon us again. We have a kingdom coming, and that kingdom, when it comes, we will be with him forever in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. No music, please. Nobody plays anything. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he's... I just want us to sing it one more time. Everybody join me and sing. Hallelujah. Oh,
how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Yes, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how raise your hand and wave your hand unto the heart. Wave your hand to the Lord. He tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. He tells me of his precious blood. The sinner's cry perfectly. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love. Shake up a coolie, my satyr, how about it? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. If you are standing here or sitting here this morning and you haven't given your life to Christ, if you are watching us on any part of the world, from any part of the world, or you watch this, listening to this message later on, I'm now calling on you to step forward and give your life to Christ. I'm asking you to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. This is an insurance you want to buy. However, the price has been, premium has been paid already. It was done 2,000 years ago on this hour that Jesus Christ died for mankind, for us to receive salvation free. He said, for if any man will come, I will in no wise deny such one. It doesn't matter where you have been or what you have done. Whether you have sinned or you thought like the Apostle Paul said, I, a sinner, worse than anything, chief among sinners. He said, but I received mercy. Now I'm calling on you to receive the mercy that Paul received, that I received, that your people here received. If you don't know Jesus Christ, this is the time to raise it. If you are here, I want you to indicate by raising your hand wherever you are standing. And we will speak. Yes, I remember the word of that man I watched. He said, from now henceforward, neither God or man has anything on me. The moment you come forth, the moment you spoke that word of faith, asking for grace, asking for help, asking for cleansing, it is done, because that is how God has programmed it, that any sinner who come asking for relief, we shall receive the same. Now let us pray. Jesus Christ, we thank you. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you. Come into my life and take your place. The sacrifice you made, I receive it. I receive that I'm saved by the shedding of the righteous blood. And from today, I give my life to you. Holy Spirit, guide me unto eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.